Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17 to 19 is going to be our text for this message entitled Benefits of the Love of God. Ephesians 3 verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Wonderful. The Bible is telling us, talking to us believers, this scripture was written not to unbelievers, but to believers. Sometimes believers tend to think that the subject of the love of God is for unbelievers, but really it is for believers. Hallelujah. Believers must know the depths and the heights and the width and the length, all the dimensions of the love of God. Hallelujah. Oftentimes we just know a little dimension of it, but here the Bible is telling us that we must have all the dimensions of the love of God. We must know it. Wonderful, because when we know it, then we can offload it to unbelievers. Because believe me, sometimes we don't feel like doing what God wants us to do towards the lost, because we are not constrained by the love of God. I mean, we don't have a revelation of the love of God, because the love of God can move you. It's like an energy. It can constrain you. It can push you, you know, to offload God's love to unbelievers. How can you tell them about the love of God if you yourself, you are not filled with the love of God? That is what the Bible is saying, that believers must come to a place of knowing the dimensions of God's love. And this knowledge doesn't come by study. It's a spiritual revelation. Actually, in the Greek, when you study the word knowledge in verse 19 of Ephesians 3, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It says, I know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. What does that mean? The word translated knowledge is the word gnosis. Gnosis is talking about a scientific knowledge. So what the Bible is saying is that knowing the love of God, having a revelation, that's the first know, having an epignosis or a revelation, a recognition of the love of God, passes scientific knowledge. In other words, you can't say that, well, this happened to me, so it means that God doesn't love me. It doesn't come by logic. It comes by revelation. Gnosis is scientific knowledge. So he says that the love of Christ, it passes logic. It passes scientific knowledge. Because sometimes when God is dealing with us, we think God doesn't love us, you see, because logically we feel that, well, if God loves me, why didn't he let me go abroad? If God loves me, why didn't he give me money? If God loves me, why is my prayer, the one that I prayed, why is it not answered practically? Why do I not see it? It passes gnosis. It passes scientific knowledge, where you use your calculations to do all that. But he wants us to get a revelation, a full discernment of the dimensions of the love of God. That is what believers need. When we get that revelation, the Bible says that, then we are hallelujah. We are filled with all the fullness of God. Because do you know the fullness of God? The fullness of God is love. God is full of love. Full of love. Sometimes when he wants to do something, his love will be getting in the way, because he is so full of love. If there is one thing God is full of, it is love. That is why the Bible says that with every saint, with every believer, not unbelievers, but that all believers will know the four dimensions, this is Paul's prayer, of the love of God, which passes scientific knowledge or gnosis, that we all believers will be filled with the fullness of God. Because when we know the love of God, and we have the full dimensions of the love of God, then we are filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of God is love. God is full of love. He is filled with love. Everything that he does, his love constrains him to do it. Hallelujah. And he wants us to be just like him. Hallelujah. So God shows us his children, his believers' love. And we have to pray that, Lord, please open my eyes that with all the saints, this is not a selfish prayer, you see that, that every one of us will come to a full understanding of your love. Wonderful. Because the love of God is so powerful. It is, what is powerful about God is his love. What is powerful about God is his love. The greatest is his love. That is how he is. So we have to know the full dimensions of the love of God. Okay? And first of all, I must make you to know, before we get into the first benefit, I must make you to understand that God's love, which we call agape love, I love to call it kingdom love, because that type of love was shown to us concurrent with the coming of the kingdom. If you look at the first kingdom era, you see that kind of love there. It is that kind of love in the first kingdom era that made God create everything in abundance, and then last of all created mankind to come and enjoy something that they didn't labor for. We see a first reflection of kingdom love in the first kingdom era, where Adam and Eve didn't toil for anything, but God said, enjoy yourself. Wonderful. We see this kind of love in the first kingdom era, where God created everything, and then he brought his creatures to Adam and Eve, or to Adam, I should say, to name them. Isn't this love, ladies and gentlemen? Because when I create something, I want to name it myself. When you do something, you want to be identified with that thing. Which of us would do something, labor something, and put somebody's name on it? Which of us would labor and love to be unknown and then project another person? This is what God did in the first kingdom era, where he created his horse, he created his fish, he created his birds, and then he didn't give it to the angels to name them. According to the book of Job, the angels were singing whilst God was creating. They were, as it were, participants into inverted commas. I mean, they were witnesses, I should rather say. They were witnesses of the things that God was doing. When they said, let there be light and all that, angels were seeing, wow, and they were singing, and God will create, and the angels are singing. They were witnessing to it. But when God created the thing, he didn't say, yeah, angel Michael, come, name it. He didn't do that. He created these people in the last minute, and people who did not witness anything, he said, you, come and put a name on it, on what I have done. Isn't it love, ladies and gentlemen? When man intentionally, deliberately, Adam, intentionally, deliberately disobeyed God, and then he sowed a fig leaf, and God came around, and God didn't slap them, you know? What did he do? He took off the fig leaves and clothed them properly. Because when you sin, you are already down. God will not put you on top of it. That is something that we don't understand. Because God is love, ladies and gentlemen. It is God's love that we see in the first offspring of man, Adam and Eve. We see in Cain and Abel. When Cain killed his brother Abel, and God said that, Cain, you will not be killed like you have done. I have set a mark on your face. It's a favor I have put on you. Anybody who sees you, he will not kill you. Although, naturally, you have to die. I know you will not be killed. It's wonderful. This is the love of God in exhibition. We call it unconditional love. It is not conditioned on anything. If it is conditioned on something, then you can manipulate God. You understand? In other words, you can determine whether God will love you or not by what you do. But that is not how his love is like. God's love is so unconditional that he doesn't depend on you to lay something on the table, do something, and then he will reciprocate by loving you. He will look at what you have put on the table and say, oh, you have put much on the table. You have sacrificed. You have done this. So me too, I will show you love. No. The Bible says that God is love and God cannot deny himself. In other words, whether you believe it or not, he is still love. He cannot deny his nature, the fact that he is unconditional love. That is why we didn't ask God to come and take away our sins. That is why we didn't tell him that he should take away the sins of all humanity, past, present, and future. But he came all by himself and decided by himself, I will not remember their sins anymore. It's him. He decided, I will not. Because if you can, you have to put something on the table before God shows you love, then his love is conditioned, then you can control God. You understand that? Then you can determine how God will behave. But God doesn't behave based upon what you do towards him. He has, oh hallelujah, he has one constant behavior, is love and love and love and love. Even when you are not looking for it. He said that even the people who were not looking for me, I said to them, here am I. Can you imagine that? The people who didn't ask for me, I answered them. The people who were not looking for me, I said, here am I to them. Talking about us. He came by himself. For God so loved the world. Not because we prayed to God, but for God so loved the world that he himself gave his only begotten son. God's love is unconditional. And that is how come I describe it as a kingdom love. Because anytime I see the kingdom appear and I see this kind of love over there. Hallelujah. So the kingdom was lost to mankind through the sin of Adam and Eve all throughout until Jesus Christ, according to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, he came carrying the kingdom upon his shoulders and put it on the earth again. That the kingdom of God is here. From Adam's time, the second Adam comes and he brings the message of the kingdom. And we see concurrent moving along the same love of God that we had a glimpse of during Adam and Eve's time. The unconditional one. We see the same thing manifest through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came full of grace and truth. He was full of something, love, love, love. Because grace and love in practical demonstration is the same thing. I don't know, you can call it grace, you can call it love. You'll not be wrong. From God's perspective is love. From our perspective of not deserving, we call it grace. But it's the same thing practically. Let's be real. Grace, undeserved favor, and the unconditional love of God is the same. It's just different words. Hallelujah. Jesus was full of that. And Jesus Christ came to show us the Father. Why did he have to come and show us the Father? Didn't Abraham show us the Father? Didn't Moses show us the Father? Didn't the prophets show us the Father? Didn't Elisha show us the Father? They showed us the Father. But the dimension of the Father that they showed unto us was not really who God was. So God said, Jesus, you are in my presence. You come and show them who I am really. That is why Jesus Christ came and he demonstrated kingdom love, this unconditional type of love. Why does God show us this kind of love? Kingdom love, love that goes with the kingdom. Anytime we see the kingdom, we see this kind of love over there. Wonderful. Why did he do that? Has it got to do with the kingdom life? Yes, it has got to do with the kingdom life. Has it got to do with our ability to live the kingdom life? Yes, it has got to do with our ability to lead the kingdom life. It comes when we do what? We see the depths and the heights and the width and the length, dimensions of the love of God. It makes us get filled with the fullness of God. And if you read the next verse, verse 20, say, now it's like when you have fulfilled this condition, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. What is the power that is at work in us by which God does exceedingly abundantly above what we even think? He does it graciously. It is when we know the dimensions of the love of God that this love begins to affect our practical life. So let's look at some benefits of the love of God to galvanize us to travel this long road, this everlasting road of the love of God. Why does God show us love? Why does he bring us kingdom love? Why did Jesus Christ have to come with unconditional love again? Which our first parents saw our disobedience.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
The first reason why God shows us kingdom love is because of who he is. God shows us unconditional love because of who he is. Because of who he is. The Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 16, that God is love. God is love. And that is what God is. God is love. Hallelujah. So when God shows love, it is for his name's sake. It is because he is love. Look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, and then verse 25. Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 25. Over there, God assures us that it is he who blots out our sins for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Isaiah 43, verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Ladies and gentlemen, this scripture, although found in the Old Testament, is describing us, those of us that Jesus Christ has come to take away our sin. Because you see, the second part of that scripture said that I will not remember your sins. Beloved, in the Old Testament, God always remembers sin year after year, year after year. That is why Hebrew writer quotes this one. I think Hebrews 10 also, that their sins and their transgressions I will remember no more. Says, I am he who blots out there. I won't remember your sins. So when we say I won't remember your sins over here, that it's referring to us. In this kingdom era where Jesus Christ has come to die. I hope you understand. So the first part when he says that, I blot out your sins for my name's sake. It is the reason why God shows us love. He shows us love for his own sake. Because that is him. 1 John chapter 2 verse 12 says that, little ones, I've written this one to you so that you know that your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. The same for his name's sake. For his name's sake. What is his name? His name is love. He is full of love. God is love. So he shows us love for his name's sake. God shows us perfect love because of who he is. Namely that he is unconditional love. That is why he says, it is for my sake that I did it. Not because he confessed, not because of anything, but for my sake. Because he will not deny himself. So, God does not need you to do anything for him to be who he is. Your belief or unbelief, your action or your inaction, that does not make God who he is. Because he is unconditional love. The reason is simple. He is unconditional love. He does not need you or what you put on the table to be himself. Otherwise, you can create God. But he is the all-sufficient, complete one. Without you, he is. Hallelujah. Wonderful. God doesn't need you to complete him. You need him to complete you. Jesus doesn't need you to be Lord. You need him to be Lord. He is the sun. We are the moon. We have no light on our own. We only reflect somebody's grace, somebody's work onto people in this life. We can't be proud because whatever thing we have, whatever things we are, whatever God has done for us, it is because of his own name's sake. Because he is a son, he can't help it but to let you reflect him. Hallelujah. Religion will always tell you to do something to make God do something. But in the kingdom system, God does something to make you do something because he can move with or without any condition. Rather, he can move without any condition existing around. He can move. That is what makes him God, or his namesake. I tell you, he has forgiven the world for his name's sake. He has done it. He has forgiven you and me for his name's sake. He has an interest in that. He doesn't have to wait for us. He has forgiven us. The Bible says that to witness to the fact that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their sins unto them, and has given us the same message of reconciliation. To witness to the fact that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not reconciling himself to the world. It's the world that ran away from God. It was Adam that left God. Adam said that I was afraid because I had sinned. So he went to hide. God didn't hide. Even when he sinned, God knew he had sinned and God was coming to him. Because God's love is unconditional. So if he asked him, who told you that you are naked? Who told you that? Wonderful. The problem is not God doesn't like us. The problem is that it is us who are running away from God because we have a wrong picture about God. The devil is a bad devil. He wants to give a certain picture about God, that God is a bad God. He's a wicked God. That he's a stingy God. But that's not the picture God gave about himself in the first kingdom era. He didn't. So you know what? The devil came to Adam and Eve. And then he said to them, to Eve, I should say, he said to her, has God said, you shall not eat of the trees of the garden? No, I said, no, God has not said. He said, we can eat everything, but this one, we can't touch it, lest we die. The devil says, no, you will not die. When you eat, you'll be like God. Do you know what the devil was trying to tell Eve? He was trying to tell Eve, who was already like God, that God is holding back something from you. So do something to be like him. But is it true that she had to eat the fruit in order to be God? No, she was already like God, created in the image of God. Male and female created he them. Hallelujah. And the devil will up to today come to you and say, and give you an impression that God has withheld something from you, which you already have by his love and providence. He has already given you. And he will tell you that you have to cry out for it. Now, do you know something? You can enter into this kingdom dimension where you know that everything has been provided for me by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Everything has been provided for me before I was created in Adam. And I came around and everything was finished. So what do I have to do? Just enjoy. And the only thing the devil wants to do is to try to give you a curtailment, prevent you from enjoying by giving you an impression that you don't have access to something. As God said, you should not eat all these things. Hallelujah. So religion will always give us condition. When you do this, then God will do that. When you do this, then God will do that. Hey, we can even go to extents. Those of you who are matured, you can take it. We can even go to the extent of saying that if you can't believe for something, God will not give it to you. It's true. But I see it defied all over the place. If you can't believe for it, forget. And so you see that it's a kind of Old Testament putting us in a place where we have to do. When the thing is already done by our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the Holy Spirit said, there abide three things, hope, faith, and love. These three, and the greatest is love. Do you know why he said that? Anytime you come across things being compared, like these three people, the greatest is this one, A, B, C. The greatest among these three is this one. It is because the three of them can do the same thing. That is why you can compare them and say, this is greatest, this is greater, this is great. Do you understand what I'm telling you? In other words, love can do what faith can do. Do you know what you do? Rather, I should say to you, it is love that gives fuel to faith to work. That is why love becomes great. It is like your car engine. Your car engine, it functions by oil in the engine. So oil makes the engine work. If faith is like an engine, love is what makes the faith work. So which one is greater? It's love. Because without it, you are nothing. You can move mountains by all your faith. Believe God for all the miracles. But without love, you are nothing. Hallelujah. So what am I saying? Practically, what it means is this. I'm not saying that, Pastor, now we don't believe again. It's only love. Do you know this is how you operate it? Even when your faith is shaking, believe in the love of God for you. That by the love of God, that miracle is going to come into my life. Hallelujah. So the first reason why God shows us love is so that he will be himself. He will be himself. He cannot deny himself. Number two, God shows us love so that we will be filled with his fullness. You will be filled with his fullness. In other words, we will be filled with love. God shows us love that we will be filled with love. Whatever thing is manifest to you, you see it, you become full of it. Ephesians 3:19 says that we should all believers know the dimensions of the love of God so that we will be filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of God is love. The fullness of God is Jesus. Jesus came showing us the love of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why God showed us Jesus is so that we will be filled with his type of love. The reason why we must know the love of God is so that we will be filled with what we know. Because what we know, we become filled with. What is revealed to you, you will bring forth to what you see all the time. It's true. If you tend to see poverty all the time, you will bring forth to poverty. But in your mind's eye, in your eyes of faith, ladies and gentlemen, based upon what Jesus Christ did for us, he was made poor on the cross for us. Begin not to see poverty. Begin to see your needs are met. Amen. Begin to see that you are blessed. Amen. People say that, well, you don't have anything in your bank account. You don't have, even your money has been squandered by these crooks and all those kind of things. But begin to see yourself differently. Yes. As you see, you become it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. So he says, I want you to see the dimension of the love of God. That you will be filled with the fullness of God, which is filled with love. And you exude love everywhere effortlessly. You will not try this one, should I forgive or should I not forgive? You'll be so full of love that you forgive and you don't even know. You don't even know. People will stand back and they will see, hey, this guy, is he not hurt by this thing? Why is he behaving so nicely like that? He doesn't seem to be consumed by this kind of behavior these people are showing to him. You are not even aware of anything they have shown. Do you know something? Because the forgiveness is effortless.
Yeah.
You know that you have been forgiven effortlessly, so you too, you forgive people. Yes, as you in Christ Jesus were forgiven. It's powerful. Number three, God shows us his love to make our faith work. He shows us his love to make our faith to work. If you want your faith to work, this is where I will teach you properly how faith works. If you want your faith to work, make sure that you are full of the love of God for you. You must know that God so loves you. That is where your faith will work. Hallelujah. That is why Jesus Christ came showing and demonstrating to us the love of God so that we will believe. We will believe in the love that God has for us. Hallelujah. Bible says that we have known and we have believed the love that God had for us. God is love. We knew the love of God through Jesus Christ and his life when he came on earth. And then he forgave people unconditionally, like this woman caught in adultery. She was caught in the very act. And everybody said, according to the law of God, she must be stoned. Jesus Christ was at the crescent of the Temple Mount and he was writing. And he behaved as if he didn't hear. He didn't hear that they were accusing this woman. I tell you, that is Jesus' attitude towards you. He is not keen on hearing your sins. He doesn't like to hear your sins. He will behave as if, no, he has not sin, because he took away your sin. And on the cross, he doesn't accuse you before the Father. He sees you have sinned. He said, God, I have taken it away. He is not happy to hear that, hey, have you heard this man of God has fallen and this one has fallen? And have you heard this pastor is doing this sin very bad and all that? No, his ears are not inclined to that. He refused to hear. That is, what is happening? What is happening? Jesus didn't mind them. He was still writing. That is his attitude towards anybody who sins. Ladies and gentlemen, he does not always chide. He does not always ship you. Why should he ship you? When his son was whipped on the cross for your sin, it will be injustice to his son for you to be whipped again. And the son will not stand for that. But when you are not mindful of the fact that Jesus took away your sin, then the devil can come and condemn you. But now, there is therefore no condemnation. Not in heaven now. The Bible says because of what Jesus Christ did for us, there is therefore now. It means today, as you sit here right now, there is no condemnation for you. If your mind is fixed on what the Spirit has done in Christ Jesus. Because by the Spirit of God, he tasted death for every one of us. Hallelujah. You came from
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.